Well, good morning.
Hi there.
How are you?
Doing well.
How are y'all?
Well.
Well, good. All right. Well, what we're going to study or look at this week in the book by MacArthur called Anxiety Attack is having peace in every circumstance. Sounds like a very tall order.
Timely.
It's a very tall order there. So, let's pray. Lord, we hear this title of this chapter, Having Peace in Every Circumstance. And Lord, it's almost hard for us to believe this. That we could have peace in every circumstance, because more than likely none of us have ever really experienced it. But we're going to see that's what your word does say. So we pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding and give us faith to believe it and hearts to have a desire to achieve it to the glory of your name. Not just so we can have peace, not just so we can feel better, but so that we can glorify your name in every circumstance. Because that's what we want to do. That is our chief end. It is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So we pray your blessings upon us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So it is recording, yes, Mark? Okay. I figured you would have been waving at me by now if it wasn't. So. Well, in the last chapter we saw Paul closed his letter to the Thessalonians with a practical instruction on ministering to problem people in the church, including the worried. And in this chapter, we'll see how he closed his second letter to them with a prayer. Any anxious Christian would love someone to have prayed on his or her behalf. And it's found in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And it says, this will be 2 Thessalonians 3:16 and verse 18. So he skips 17. It says, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And MacArthur again, he said that that's a prayer any anxious person would like to have prayed for them. But I would say that's a prayer that any person would like to have prayed for them, anxious or not. And peace is usually what we're all seeking. Especially, I guess you could say, an anxious person or a person that's worried all the time. They're constantly wanting peace. And we do all want peace. Right? I don't think anybody here or anybody anywhere would say they don't want peace.
What's the alternative?
Exactly. What is the alternative? It's no peace. Or worse. But how to define peace? Well, MacArthur, in his book, he defines it, peace is commonly defined as the sense of calm, tranquility, quietness, bliss, contentment, and well-being that we feel when everything is going the way we would like it to go. Right? When everything's going the way we would like it to go, that's how we define, that's peace. And that's really the definition of peace people seek. And, in one sense, the world can supply. But that's not a complete definition. Because that feeling of peace can also be produced by a pill, alcohol, a nap, a generous inheritance. You know, somebody loving you can make you feel at peace. Being away from a situation can make you feel at peace. But that's not the peace Paul is talking about in 2 Thessalonians. And the peace that Paul is talking about is godly peace. Okay? Godly peace. Which has nothing to do with people or circumstances. Actually, godly peace can't be produced on a human level. Any peace that can be produced on a human level is fragile and transient. And any peace that was created by circumstances can also be destroyed by different circumstances. The inheritance that you received and it has given you peace because you think you're going to pay all your bills, you can lose that inheritance because we know wealth can up and fly away. Take wings like a bird and fly away. So any peace that was created by circumstances can be destroyed by circumstances. And you see it all the time. You know, I remember hearing about when the stock market crashed in Black Tuesday back, I think, in the 29. But I wasn't born then, so I don't know. I'm not saying whoever knew that was born then. I'm just saying.
A show of hands.
I doubt, well.
John Collier.
But he's not here. Anyway, people started jumping out windows because the stock market crashed. And they lost all their worldly wealth. Everything was gone. And they didn't think life was worth living. And people, that happens a lot. Because people put so much into that type of stuff. And that's not real peace. And we have to be careful with this type of situation because often we trust more in our circumstances than we like to admit, or I think we even can admit. Just think of how, and I'll just use money as an example, but just think of how good it feels. I'm not sure how good it feels because I've never really experienced this. But when you have a lot of money in the bank, when you have a big, giant savings account, or you think, wow, man, I'm going to be able to retire next year and I'm going to be able to live nice. Money does that to us. And it's easy to trust in money. It really is. And I think we have the potential to do that a lot. And whether we admit it or can admit it. But human-produced peace is fragile. In the book, MacArthur says about human-produced peace, it can be destroyed instantly by failure, doubt, fear, difficulty, guilt, shame, distress, regret, sorrow, the anxiety of making a wrong choice, the anticipation of being mistreated or victimized by someone, the uncertainty of the future, or any challenge to our position or possessions. And we experience these things daily. How many times has your peace been rocked because you were trusting in the wrong thing? Has that ever happened to you? Because we're prone to trust in wrong things. And it does mess up our peace. But the peace that God gives isn't subject to the changing situations of this life. Why? Oh. But, sure.
Because our God is true and our God is sure. So we trust in the Lord who does not change.
That's as good of an answer as I was going to give. I agree with that. And because it's spiritual, and because it's peace that God gives us. It comes from God. It's not something you're producing. If it were something you're producing or circumstances produce, it can change. Because we're in a world of change. The only thing constant about this world is change. It's constantly changing. And your peace is constantly changing if you're trusting in the things of this life. But the peace that God gives is spiritual and it's based on God. It's not based on us. That's really important. Because if you don't get that part right, you're probably not going to get the peace you're looking for. to have peace, it is only necessary that we have peace with God, not with the world. And you're not going to really ever have peace with the world if you're a Christian. I don't think you can have peace with the world. And if I know all is well between God and me, that is peace. That is peace. In Daniel chapter 3, 15 through 18, it's the situation with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I always like this story because it shows how God can give you peace. And it's not based on the circumstances. But 3, 15 through 18, it says, now, in verse 15, now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And I mean, you know, you read that, every time I read that, that gives me chill bumps. Because, I mean, just, this was really going to happen to them. They really did get put in that fiery furnace, if you keep reading the story. Because they wouldn't bow down and worship it. It's really easy to read this. But to have the peace that you say, if you're going to kill me, then go ahead and kill me. I'm not going to bow down and worship you, so go ahead and throw me in that fiery furnace because I don't care. I would rather die than sin against God in that way. And that's what they were ready to do. Yes, Eric.
Well,
hold on to it. Don't forget it. Sometimes if you hold on to it too long, you forget it. I don't want it to go. But let me see if this is a good place for that. But that's what they said. See, their circumstances didn't change their peace because they weren't looking at themselves. And they weren't looking at their conditions. They were looking at God. So I think now it's a good time for it.
No, I just wanted to bring up a kind of observation of where we are today, similarly to how Nebuchadnezzar the king wanted them to worship his false idol. Well, today we have this whole kneeling thing with some of our leaders kneeling with some kind of an arraignment around their neck, and they're calling people to do the same to them. So I just find it a fascinating time that we're in. You can't necessarily dismiss it. It only happened thousands of years ago because it's happening right at this moment.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that we're being cast into some kind of fire, but there is something out there that says follow this direction.
Right.
Some actually have said, or else, if you're there.
Right. I don't know. I ain't following it close enough to try and explain why they're kneeling. But it is easy to bow down to the world. And it would have been totally logical or reasonable to think and to wonder, does God want me to do this? Does God want me to be put in the fiery furnace? See, that's our trusting the circumstances more than we're trusting God. And that's easy to do. And it can be with anything. It can even be with something that's within the church. Like the tithe. I need this money over here, Lord. Should I give the tithe or should I give this? And I've been in that situation before. And I can tell you, we gave the tithe because it's not ours. And God provided what we needed. Because we did what He said. It's not magical, it's obedience. Just like they could have easily said, well, just bow down like everybody else. Ain't going to know the difference. Ain't nobody going to know the difference. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego only became different because they did bow. I mean, they didn't bow. That was the difference. Everybody else was needed with bow. But they didn't, and that made them different. So there are times that you have to, in a sense, step out on that limb. Step out in faith. And if you knew what was down there, it wouldn't be faith. So you can't see what you're stepping on. But so always happens when I sort of go off my script here. I got to get back on it now. The peace that God gives is divine. Okay? That's another section in the book. And if you again look at 2 Thessalonians 3:16, it says, you don't have to look, I'll just read it. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times in every way. See, the peace that God gives is from Him. It is from Him. It's from Him personally. He's giving it to you. Now, isn't that amazing? That God is giving you that. That is His giving it to you. Paul says that God Himself gives you peace. Trying to find it in the book. Says, the Lord of peace is the one who gives it. The pronoun Himself is emphatic in the Greek text and underscores God's personal involvement. Christian peace, the peace unique to Christians, comes personally from God. It's the very essence of His nature. See, you're not creating it. He gives it to you, and then you do what He tells you to do, so you can do it. I was at peace giving the tithe rather than paying the bill. Why? Because I knew God was going to provide. I was at peace when I needed a job. Why? Because I knew God was going to provide. And it isn't always, and that's okay, I'm not always that way, okay? So I'm not the Rock of Gibraltar here. But I'm saying those times that I have been, I can testify that God does that. Peace is an attribute of God. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you." So you keep him, God keeps you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed on God. And because of that, because you trust in Him, He gives you peace. The only way you can get perfect peace, and that's what they call it, perfect peace, in Isaiah 26. The only way you can get perfect peace is from God. And you got to remember, there is no lack of peace with God or in God. He doesn't lack peace. He has plenty of peace. See, God is never stressed. He is never anxious. He never worries. He never doubts. He never has fears. Never has problem making up His mind. He's already done all that. It's all made up all the way to the end, okay? So, He's already figured it out. He never has God is never wrong. Psalm 119, 137. I think we sang it last week. I think so. I think it didn't write. It wasn't written down, but and I think we sang Psalm 119 this week too. So, if you want a good short chapter to memorize, go to Psalm 119. But Psalm 119, 137. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. But when the Bible says, righteous are you, O Lord, and it's talking about Jehovah there, because it's in all caps, the word Lord is. See, righteous are you, Lord. All of God's actions are right. Do you believe that? No matter what it looks like. And it can look pretty horrible. In this country right now, it looks pretty horrible. Some of these ideas that are going around, it looks pretty bad. But all of God's actions are right, and He is in control of everything. And if you can trust that one fact and act accordingly, that will bring you peace. Because God will give you peace. God never does anything wrong, and He has never done anyone wrong. He is always kinder to him than we deserve. He's always kinder to us than we deserve. I remember there was that movie, City Slickers. And that was the one with Billy Crystal and Jack Palance, right? And Jack Palance, you know, Billy Crystal was trying to find meaning in life. And he, when he was doing that, Jack Palance said, you got to find that one thing. He never said what the one thing was, I guess, because he was thinking it's different for everybody. But you got to find that one thing. And I was thinking, if you can trust that God, that all of His actions are right, then that will bring you peace. If you can trust that. No matter what happens. I mean, all of His actions are right. There are some things that happen that we don't understand. And there probably still will be. And I'm talking about even in your personal life. Some people say, oh, why did this happen to me? If you can trust that God is in control of all things and He never does anything wrong, I believe He'll give you peace. The problem is we don't necessarily accept that. Because God is perfect peace. Now, has there ever been a time in your life when by the world's standards, you shouldn't have had any peace, but God gave you peace? I know there's at least one person in here that could... Oh, there we go. You want the one I was talking about? So there's two. Yes, Gina.
Okay, so... I was trying to think of just one because I had so many.
Just give me. Well, I mean,
give us
the best one, Gino.
Okay, here's one. When I was at my, I've been at my job of 12 and a half years where I'm at right now, and the very first year I was there, so my boss, he's the big boss, he's a New Ager, so I was kneeling down in front of this cabinet because it was easier to do it that way, and he actually said that was the proper way to kneel towards his office, and I started laughing, and he says, what are you laughing about? And I said that was kind of funny, Steve. And he's like, you know, you're expendable. And I started laughing even harder, and he goes, why are you laughing? That's not funny. And I was thinking in my head, you know, you're not going to do nothing unless the Lord lets you do it. That's why I was laughing. I didn't tell him that, but I said, you know, hey, I'm okay, Steve, you know, I'll just keep doing my job. So
yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's just one of many things. But if I can add one on there so I don't forget.
Go right ahead.
So John 14, verse 27. Peace I give to you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled or let it be afraid. That one comes to my head so often. Mostly because I used to just read the Gospels only when I was a young Christian.
Right.
So, but... it's come to my head so many times in a lot of circumstances. You know, my peace I give you. I'm like, yes, Lord, thank you.
And by the way, that was from memory. He wasn't reading it. That's why you memorized the word right there. Because it helps you in those situations. So, yes, thank you, Gina. Anybody else?
Come on, I know somebody can.
I can speak loud.
I'll come over to you. Then speak loud.
When a couple of years ago when I had surgery, I remember that I was sort of nervous. I know that that week the ladies prayed me. The ladies meeting had prayed for me, and some other people had told me that they were going to pray for me. And so that morning of the surgery, you know, they were putting IVs on me, and you know, I was thinking God is in control, and whatever happens, you know, it's for the best. So this nurse comes over, and she said, oh, did they give you the pill already? And I said, what pill? She said, to relax you. And I said, no. She said, oh, why do you look so relaxed? And I was like, oh. I mean, I said, I don't know. I guess I know that God is with me. And she said, oh. And she said, do you still need it? And I said, no. I said, I know that God is in control. Wow. So that was encouraging to me that,
right.
You know, I didn't realize that I looked very relaxed. And I was very thankful.
Wow. See, that's what the Lord does. Anybody else?
Well, Nancy was just saying this morning that she's facing her surgery with peace. And part of it was that, you know, unexpectedly God gave her a Christian surgeon.
Yeah.
And when they had their consult, he was very explicit about having prayed for her, and he was going to pray for her, and knew that she was in the best hands, meaning his hands, not the doctor's hands. So, I mean, sometimes the peace is completely supernatural.
Right.
Sometimes it comes in the form of earthly comforts that go along with the heavenly comfort. So.
And you know, the world would say, wow, what a coincidence.
Yeah, right.
No, not a coincidence at all. That's God doing that. That's God bringing in this Christian doctor who is also praying that he'll do a good job. You know, and so we're all praying that he'll do a good job. So when I heard he had a Christian doctor, I was like, wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So that's the way he does it. He does it however he wants to do it. See, that is peace perfected. He does it in the perfect way. See, we try to do it, you know, in getting out of the bad situation, or we try to do it some other crummy way, whatever that is. Pill, alcohol, whatever it may be. Drown their sorrows, I don't know. Run out and buy things. Exercise a whole lot, I don't know. All those things can be good. Well, anyway, you know what's good, you know what? If you don't know what's good and bad, then come talk later. But God is perfect, is peace perfected, because he lives in perfect calm and contentment, in perfect harmony with himself. See, God has perfect peace. He lives in that. That's not something he has to create. That's something he is. We just aren't. And we don't fully understand it. Yes, Eric.
Just kind of a thought that came to mind. Does the peace come immediately?
Does it?
Because we read many of the stories that didn't come right away. So there's that patience that God gives us.
Yes.
See, because if we look at our society today, we want instant
everything
responses to whatever we put our minds to. So we see that God's time is way out there.
Right.
He sees the future, whereas us, we don't. So we try to resolve that in our hearts and our minds.
Right.
To make those decisions. So the patience is a big part of this, the word peace.
Yes. There's a lot of things that are a lot of parts to peace. But one main thing is to have focus on God. See, because all these other things are self-created. And you can be patient, and because you have no choice. See, you can try and create your own peace, but it doesn't really, it's never happened. I mean, There are, yeah. But the peace that we're talking about comes from God. Yes.
I also learned from that story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that even when you're in a situation that you don't know what the results are going to be,
right?
You know, because they said he might not take us out of this, but whatever he does we can trust in the Lord. And I think it's God will give you that peace, as much grace that you need at the moment when you need it the most.
Right.
Because I've experienced it, and I know that he does give it to you.
Yes.
He puts you in a situation where you need it really right there, and he just does.
And every situation varies. Sometimes it doesn't come instantly. Yes, Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say this basically same thing that she said there. Is Paul joined grace and peace. I taught Gina this in Greek. You have the words that Paul said in charis kai irene, and Paul joins in his letters. Paul joins those two things, grace and peace.
Yeah.
And he says it's from God, grace and peace from God.
Yes. God himself. See, God is giving it to you. And it doesn't always come instantly. It took me a long time because I was looking at this. And I remember when I first began being a teacher. Let me tell you, didn't have a lot of peace. And it took a long time before I had I worked as a teacher for 8 years, and I didn't have a lot of peace, let me tell you. I had a lot of rough years. And that was just the way it was. But God kept me going through that time. And it wasn't easy. But finally, I did get peace in the job that I'm in now. But I'm just saying, if it doesn't come instantly, yeah, it does take a lot of patience. But a lot of what made me keep doing what I was doing is I had to do it. I had to pay the bills. I had to do what I had to do. And see, God, not only, I mean, why I had no peace, I guess I did sometimes, but it would get disturbed quite often because it was just a really difficult job. And it was just a learning process. And it's what most first-year teachers go through. I've never seen anytime you're in a job the first year, it's usually pretty tough. And those are the toughest years, but then you begin to learn to adapt. And but the peace may not come instantly, but the thing is that the whole point is that you got to stay focused on God. That is where the peace comes from. It comes from God. And if you're going and you're going, okay, I know that God never does the wrong thing. I knew that it was not a fickle thing that I had become a teacher. Let me tell you. I knew that God had put me there. Even if I really wanted or not to be a teacher, He put me there. That was not ever anything in my life that I said, oh boy, I can't wait to become a teacher. I never said that, ever. But that's where God chose to place me. And I think that has a lot to do with how you view things, is that God is doing what's right. You know, you weren't safe in that accident out of coincidence. You were being protected. And if something happened to you, then still you're being protected and God is still watching over you. You just got to keep trusting in God, because that's the way we have to do it. That's what He wants us to do. Keep looking at Him. On page 87 it says, and this will be a place we can stop, our Bibles call Him the Lord of Peace. But in the Greek text, a definite article appears before the word translated peace, meaning he literally is the Lord of the peace. And I think that's over there in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Dave, if you want to check. I figured you.
I was thinking.
I'm figuring you were.
I was thinking it might use the word Tom there, which is one of the words for the in that passage. That second.
I think it's 2 Thessalonians 3:16.
3:16. Okay.
But he literally is the Lord of the peace. This is real peace, the divine kind, not the kind the world has. Paul's prayer is that we might experience that kind of peace. Its source is God and God alone. That's why it stays with us, because it is from God.
Yeah, that's, it says here in the Greek, the Lord of peace, actually. It's ho, kurios, teis, irenes. And that means the Lord of peace.
Yeah. So MacArthur's right. If you want perfect, lasting peace, we must keep our focus on God. Because that kind of peace only comes from God. Because situations and circumstances can constantly change. That's where it comes from. So with that, we'll stop. Any more comments? Thank you for your comments. Yes, Marina.
When God saved me, it was after having seizures for 40 consecutive days and a lot of seizures on like every hour on the hour, 24/7. So when the seizure stopped, I didn't have peace. Because as time was passing by, I was going to get older, and then if I had experienced the seizures, they would always be on the left side, my heart. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, when I get older, I'm going to get seizures again for 40 days, and I'm going to be older, more fragile. And then suddenly, I got the peace that God is in control, because I always say that, you know, God, whenever you want to take the seizures away, you will. And I've said this all the time. So I said, so why am I going to worry about what happens next time, that I get the seizures next time? And I got that peace that this time that I had the seizures, that God will take the seizures away when he sees that what he wants to teach me, it's completed.
Yeah.
And I experienced that peace in the midst of the seizures.
Yeah. And he's not making a mistake.
No.
See, that's the whole thing. Whatever he's doing, it's right. Mm-hmm. And he's not making a mistake about it.
Yeah, Paul, my closing statement for today is that the peace that God gives a person is unnatural to the world. It doesn't make any sense to them.
Right.
You know, they said, Gino, you should be scared in this thing. And I mean, you could use the COVID thing right now as an example. That I said, you know, when I'm within distance of people, you know, I wear my mask, I clean my hands. My wife's even more clean than I am. I said, but I told my neighbor lady across from there, which I'd never really had much of an opportunity to witness. I said, I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going to go when I die. And I said, but I'm still going to keep people safe. I will do that to my utmost. And she didn't say too much back. You know, she kind of obfuscated a little there. But I guess my main point is the peace of God to an unbelieving heart makes no sense whatsoever. They can't figure it out.
Right. Absolutely. They don't understand why a person can have peace. But you have peace because it's given by God. And it's not created by man. So, let's end with that. Let's pray. Lord, you tell us that thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Lord, we pray that our mind would be stayed upon you, that we would glorify your name, And that we would realize that you give us this peace as our Father to your children, because you want us to have peace. So help us not to think we can't have it. As we'll learn, it is something that you give, and only you give. So we pray, Lord, that we would think on these things, and that we would glorify and praise your name. And when somebody says, "Why do you have peace?" that we would remember to say, "Because God has given me peace." Or even more specific, "Because the Lord Jesus has given us peace." Because we want to be specific about who's given us peace. The Lord Jesus has given us peace. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. And we praise your name. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen.